All right, what is this unit in the TV room? A hassock? An ottoman? A divan? Footstool? Leg rest? I'm not sure what to call it, but I can tell you what it is functionally. It's become Basil's daybed, or couch, or sofa, whatever. Basil's not supposed to be on this piece of furniture, ever, but he's a dog. He's home alone with the two cats all day. For 8 to 10 hours, Monday through Friday, Basil can do pretty much whatever he wants around the old homestead. Basil knows full well that this, I'll call it a leg rest, which is how I deploy it, when I'm sitting on the couch or sofa or Davenport or whatever it is, watching TV, Basil knows the leg rest is a no-no. We went over this and over this years ago when we first brought him home from the shelter. Basil is smart, teachable. He learned. We never see him on my leg rest. Sometimes, if he's so zonked out that he sleeps through the garage door opening and closing when we get home at night, you can hear the two-step thud-thud in the TV room as he hits the deck, exiting the no-no, seconds before we might catch him and reboot the learning process. The incriminating evidence left behind is the 8-hour impression of his inertial 100 or so pounds and the day's accumulation of shed, Basil's black, brown, gray fur deposit. We wonder from time to time if we should have started collecting Basil hair to make a blanket, insulate the cabin, stuff an ottoman, arts and crafts. No, not going to happen, because, speaking of arts and crafts, I once made a doggy bed for Basil using materials and techniques developed back in the age of Aquarius, when Dodger and I lived in a teepee and the sweat lodge was the closest thing we had to a shower. The sweat lodge infrastructure was made of thin, peeled cedar branches lashed into a dome. And for Basil's doggy bed, I simply downsized and inverted the arrangement. I wanted to finish the thing before we left town on a Thursday for a long weekend, and I did, just. I folded up an old flannel sleeping bag liner for a doggy mattress and introduced the sweet, cedar-scented work of art to Basil as we were on our way out the door. Basil seemed touched, I remember thinking, as we pulled out of the driveway. I certainly was. Touched, I mean. We picked up a text message that Saturday from my sister, who does pet patrol for us when we're gone. All it said was, quote, "not sure about Basil's bed," unquote. I took that to mean maybe Basil wasn't quite as touched as I'd thought by the beautiful, brand new, handmade work of art doggy bed and was sticking to the TV room leg rest. I wasn't too bummed out. I'd had fun doing the project, all that backflashing to the age of Aquarius and the teepee and so on. Not sure about Basil's bed. I put it out of my mind, mostly. We were down in the Twin Cities doing a cultural whirlwind, theater, music, dining. Plus, I figured one or both cats might claim the doggy bed if Basil was unconditionally rejecting it. Worst case, I'd donate it to the shelter where we got all three of our critters. We come into the house late Sunday to find that Basil has eaten the doggy bed. Not the flannel mattress, the frame, the wood, the artistry, completely. Eaten it, digested it, and eliminated it everywhere and in all ways. The fragrance of cedar permeates the place, but cedar is a component of something gone totally rotten. The house is an obstacle course of the net results of the doggy bed. Art and craft at its most elemental, most regressive, three-dimensional, multicolored, an impressive range of shades of green, highly textured. Some of it susceptible to the shop vac, some of it only to the putty knife, some of it apparently permanent. So I won't be making any more furniture. That was a very nice doggy bed. Hard to get your artist ego around that manner of rejection. But I am the world's oldest living optimist, so I choose to take a helpful takeaway lesson in this experience. Like Basil, I am smart enough, teachable enough, I can learn. The lesson? Here's what a dog can do to your art. He can turn it into fertilizer with less intentionality than he applies to a walk in the woods. The corollary, of course, does suggest itself. Humans will turn art into fertilizer without even eating it.